Chapter 10, from the Introduction to the Zohar. To understand at least something about the surrounding nature and ourselves, we need to have a clear idea of the purpose of creation and its final state, as the intermediary states are rather deceptive. Kabbalists assert that the purpose of creation is to bring the created beings to the ultimate pleasure. For this reason, the Creator created souls, the will to receive pleasure. And since he wished to completely satiate them with delight, he created a massive will to enjoy, well matched to his will to bestow. Thus, the soul is the will to enjoy. In accordance with this desire, the soul receives pleasure from the Creator. The amount of received pleasure can be measured by the degree of desire to receive it. All that exists is either related to the Creator or to his creation. Prior to the creation of the will to enjoy, or the souls, only the Creator's will to bestow delight existed. Hence, in line with his desire, the will to bestow delight created an equal amount of the will to enjoy. However, it was opposite in property. Consequently, the will to enjoy is the only thing that was created and exists besides the Creator. Moreover, this will is the material of all worlds and all objects that populate them. And the pleasure emanating from the Creator vitalizes and governs it all. In the spiritual worlds, the discrepancy between properties and desires separates two spiritual objects, moving them away from one another, just like two corporal objects separated by distance. In our world, if two people love and hate the same things, meaning their predilections coincide, we say that they are close to one another. If their predilections and views differ, their remoteness is proportionate to the difference between their predilections and views. Affinity between people is determined by spiritual closeness, not by physical distance. Those who love each other adhere to each other and merge, while those who hate each other are as spiritually distant as two poles. The will to receive pleasure. The soul is infinitely remote from the Creator, because it's opposite from the Creator's will to bestow pleasure. To mend this remoteness of the soul from the Creator, all the worlds were created and divided into two antagonistic systems. The four light worlds, Abiya, oppose the four dark worlds, Abiya. The difference between the system of the light worlds and the system of the dark worlds lies only in the fact that the distinctive property of the first, the light worlds, is to bestow delight, and the distinctive property of the second, dark worlds, is to receive delight. In other words, the initial desire to enjoy was split into two parts. One remained the same in its properties, to receive, while the other acquired the attributes of the Creator, to draw closer to him and merged with him. Afterwards, the worlds were transformed down to our corporal world, meaning to the place where humans exist as body and soul systems. The body is the will to receive pleasure that descended unchanged through the dark world's Abiya, which is the will to enjoy for its own sake, egoism. Hence, a person is born an egoist and continues to exist under the influence of this system until he or she begins to observe the spiritual laws and bring joy to the Creator. In so doing, one gradually purifies oneself of egoism, the will to enjoy for oneself, and acquires the desire to enjoy for the Creator's sake. Then the soul descends through the whole system of light worlds and dresses in a body. Here begins a correction period that continues until all egoism is transformed into altruism. In this way, one's properties become equalized with those of the Creator, because receiving for the sake of another is not considered reception but bestowal. Since equivalence of properties means merging or adhesion, a person automatically receives all that was prepared for him in the plan of creation. The separation of the divinely created egoistic will to enjoy into two parts, the body and the soul, by the systems of Abiya, lets us transform the egoistic will to enjoy into a will to enjoy for the Creator's sake. In this way, we can both receive all that was prepared for us, according to the plan of creation, and become worthy of merging with Him. This is considered the ultimate purpose of creation. At this degree, the need for the dark system of Abiya disappears and ceases to exist. The work destined to take 6,000 years, the time it takes to transform the egoism into the will to enjoy for the Creator's sake, is actually carried out by every person during his or her lifetime and by all generations combined. Everyone must continue to reincarnate until the work is completed. The existence of the dark system of Abhya is necessary only for the creation of the body, so that by correcting its egoism, one will acquire one's second divine nature. However, if egoism, the selfish will to enjoy, is so base, how could it appear in the Creator's thought? The answer is simple. Since time does not exist in the spiritual world, the creation's final state appeared simultaneously with the plan of creation. This is because the spiritual world's past, present, and future merge in a single whole. Therefore, the egoistic will to enjoy and the resultant opposition of properties and detachment from the Creator have never existed in the spiritual world. From the beginning of creation to its end, the soul passes through three states. The first state is final. It already exists beside the Creator due to the similarity of properties. The second state is our reality, or egoism, divided into the body and the soul by the two Abhya systems, is transformed into altruism during 6,000 years. During this period, only souls undergo correction. Egoism inherent in them under the influence of the body is destroyed, and altruism inherent in them by nature is acquired. Even the souls of the righteous do not reach Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, a certain level in the system of the light worlds of Abhya, until all egoism is destroyed, and they rot in the earth, so to speak, Malchut of the world Asiya. The third state is the state of the corrected souls after the revival of the dead, after the correction of the bodies. It is the situation when egoism inherent in the body turns into altruism, and the body becomes worthy of receiving all of the delight that the Creator had prepared for it. At the same time, the body merges with the Creator because of the equivalence of their qualities. By so doing, it pleases the Creator because unification with the Creator is the actual pleasure. By looking closely at these three states, we will discover that each of them necessitates the emergence of the other, and at the same time, the exclusion of one of them will result in the annulment of the others. For example, if the final third state had not appeared, the first state would not have appeared either. This is because it only came into being because the third state exists, which is already present in the first state. All perfection of the first state is determined by the projection of the future state on the present. Without the existence of the future state, the present state would have been annulled as well. This is so because there is no time in spirituality, only changing situations. Prior to the beginning of creation, in the thought of creation, the goal was designed as definitive and existing, and this is where creation started. Thus, the first and the second states are supported by the last and the third state. Generally speaking, contrary to our actions in this world, every act in spirituality begins with designating the potential final state, followed by the act of actually attaining it. Thus, the future necessitates the existence of the present. And if something had disappeared from the second state, the work on self-correction, how would the third corrected state necessitating the first one have appeared? In the same way, the primary state where perfection already exists, thanks to the future third state, necessitates the existence and the completion of both the second and the third states. However, if the third state already exists, albeit not in our sensations, and according to the Creator's plan, we're obliged to achieve it, then where's our freedom of will? It appears from the aforesaid that although we are obliged to attain the set goal, there are two ways to do that, or to pass from the first to the third state. The first way is voluntary. It includes a conscious observation of the rules prescribed by Kabbalah. And the second is a path of suffering, because suffering can purify the body of egoism, force it to achieve altruism, and thus merge with the Creator. The only difference between these two paths is that the first is shorter. After all, the second, or the path of suffering, still brings us to the first one. In any event, everything is interconnected and mutually necessitates all our states from the beginning of creation to its end, because we are corrupted and mean, we must become as perfect as our Creator. Indeed, a perfect one such as He cannot create imperfection. Now we understand that the body we possess is not our real body. In fact, our true body, perfect and immortal, exists in its first and third states. In our present second state, we are deliberately given a base, corrupt, defective, and completely egoistic body that is detached from the Creator by the difference in desires. We receive this body specifically for the purpose of correcting it, and receive an immortal body in its stead when we reach the third state. Only in our present state can we complete the work. However, one may say that in the second state, we also exist in absolute perfection. This is because our body, the will to enjoy egoism, which dies more with every passing day, does not create obstacles for us to reach the desired state. There's only one, the time required for its final elimination and the reception of an eternal perfect body in its stead, namely the altruistic desire. Yet how could such an imperfect universe, namely we and our society and its base inclinations, emerge from such a perfect Creator? The answer is, our transient body, the entire universe, and humanity in its present form were not included in the Creator's purpose. He considered that we already exist in our final state. All that is temporary, such as the body with its egoism, merely facilitates our spiritual ascent by working on ourselves. All the other created beings populating this world spiritually ascend and descend along with us, and along with us they attain perfection. Since the third state affects the first, we are destined to achieve the set goal by two means, voluntary spiritual development or undergoing suffering, which affects only our bodies. It follows that egoism was created only to exterminate it from the world and transform it into altruism. Suffering shows us how insignificant the body is, to reveal its transience and worthlessness. When everyone in the world decides to eradicate egoism and think about each other and not themselves, all worries will disappear, and everyone will surely live a calm, healthy, and happy life, because everyone will be confident that their well-being will be assured. But as long as we're stuck in egoism, there's no salvation from the suffering that constantly befalls humanity. On the contrary, the Creator sends these sufferings with the purpose of leading us to decide to choose the path offered by Kabbalah, the path of love and care for each other. Therefore, Kabbalah considers the instructions that refer to interpersonal relationships to be more important than our duties regarding the Creator. This is because the social duties lead to a faster extermination of egoism. Although we have not yet reached the third state, this in no way belittles us because it's merely a question of time. We can already feel the future now, in our present state, yet our ability to sense the future depends on our confidence in it. As a result, an absolutely confident person can develop a clear sensation of the third state. When this happens, it's as if our bodies do not exist. However, the soul exists eternally because this attribute coincides with the Creator, in contrast to the mind, which is the product of matter. The soul acquires the Creator's attribute in the process of development, although its initial nature consists of a will to receive pleasure. Desire creates needs, and the needs stimulate the appropriate thoughts and knowledge to meet these needs. Since people have different desires, it's only natural that their needs, thoughts, and development will differ. Those who have only base needs will direct their thoughts and their education to satisfying those desires. Although they do use their knowledge and intellect, these are serving the low inanimate mind. People whose ego-based desires for pleasure is limited to such human needs as power over others use their strength and intellect and education to satisfy it. Others' desire to enjoy is focused on using knowledge to receive pleasure, and these people must use their minds to fulfill such needs. These three types of desires never occur in their pure forms because they're mixed in various attributes in each of us. And it's this combination of desires that makes people different. While passing through the pure light worlds of Abiya, human souls acquire the ability to receive pleasure for the sake of both others and the Creator. When the soul enters the body, the desire is born for altruism and inspiration for the Creator. The force of this aspiration will depend on the magnitude of desire. All that the soul attains in the second state remains in its possession forever, regardless of the degree of decay or age of the body. Conversely, outside of it, the soul instantly receives a corresponding spiritual level and returns to its roots. Naturally, the soul's eternity in no way depends on the knowledge that it acquired during life, which disappeared with the demise of the body, but its eternity lies only in the acquisition of the Creator's traits. It is known that during the 6,000 years that we were given for correction with the help of Kabbalah, we are to correct not our bodies with their corrupted desire to enjoy, but our souls, elevating them along the levels of purity and spiritual development. However, the final correction of egoism is possible only in the state called the revival of the dead. As previously mentioned, the first state necessitates the existence of the third state to fully manifest. Therefore, the first state requires the revival of the dead bodies, meaning the revival of egoism with all of its defects. Then the work to turn egoism in its corrupted form into altruism in the same degree starts anew. This way, we gain twofold. We receive an enormous desire to enjoy from the body. We enjoy not for ourselves, but for the sake of fulfilling the Creator's desire. It's as though we do not receive pleasure, but rather allow Him to bestow it upon us. As we are similar to Him in action, we are merged with the Creator. He gives us pleasure, and we allow Him to do that. Thus, the revival of the dead ensues from the first state. As we now understand, the revival of the dead should occur at the end of the second state, after the extermination of egoism, the acquisition of altruism, and the attainment of the soul's highest spiritual level. In this state, the soul achieves perfection and enables the body to experience a revival and complete correction. By the way, this principle, the revival of the dead, is effective in every case. When we want to correct a bad habit, an attribute, or an inclination, we must completely get rid of it. Only then we can resume using it partially in the proper direction. However, until we rid ourselves of it entirely, this habit cannot be used in a proper, intelligent, and independent way. And thus we can now understand our role in the long chain of reality, where each of us is a tiny link. Our lives are divided into four periods. 1. The attainment of the maximum level of egoism. We receive this from the dark system of Abiya in order to subsequently correct it. The pleasures that we receive in the dark system of Abiya will not satisfy the will to enjoy, but will merely increase it. For example, when one wishes to enjoy and receives pleasure, the desire doubles. When the doubled desire is satisfied, it quadruples. And if we don't restrict ourselves from needless desires, using the Kabbalistic method and cleansing them, and then turning to altruism, our desire will keep growing all through life, and finally, at our deathbed, we discovered that we failed to achieve even half of what we wanted. In other words, although the role of the dark forces is to provide us with the material to work on, it usually turns out that we ourselves are the material for the dark forces. 2. In the second period, the pure point in our hearts, which has existed since we were born spiritually, receives power and an opportunity to ascend by observing the spiritual laws with the help of the light world's Abiya. The main task in this period is to acquire and increase the desire for maximum spiritual pleasures. At the moment of birth, we desire only material things, to dominate the entire world and seize wealth, fame, and power, in spite of their transient instability. However, when we develop the spiritual desire, we want to control the spiritual eternal worlds as well. This is both the true desire and the ultimate egoism. By working on oneself, on the enormous will to receive pleasure for self-gratification, we can attain spiritual heights in proportion to our corrected egoism. Egoism creates tremendous difficulties and pushes us away from the spiritual. Unless continuously and fiercely struggling with ourselves, we begin wishing for everything in the world. If we succeed in the struggle, we feel an unusually strong attraction to the Creator, which helps us merge with Him. This struggle is not against the desires that we're familiar with in this world, by which one limits and disciplines oneself in using his or her desires. Rather, we cultivate a compelling yearning to attain spirituality and eternity after contemplating the greatness of spirituality, eternity, and domination beyond universe and time. This desire to merge with the Creator is the last level of the second period. The third period of development includes the study of Kabbalah and observance of the laws of the upper world. In this, we are assisted by an anti-egoistic screen, whose intention is to bring joy to the Creator, and by no means for us to receive for our own benefit. This work corrects and transforms egoism into the desire to perform good deeds as done by the Creator. In proportion to the annulled part of the egoism, we receive a soul of a certain level, a certain amount of light and pleasure consisting of five parts, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yechida, called Neron Chai for short. As long as we retain the egoistic will to enjoy egoism, we remain detached from the Creator, and even the tiniest particle of the soul cannot enter into our bodies. However, after completely destroying the ego and attaining the will to enjoy only for the sake of the Creator by becoming similar to Him, our entire soul immediately takes us over. The fourth period follows the revival of the dead when its complete restoration occurs once the egoism is completely annulled. The work transforming it into altruism resumes, though only a few people in our world can complete this task. Kabbalah says that all the worlds were created for man's sake, man in the sense of the collective humanity. However, isn't it strange that the Creator troubled Himself to create all this for such a small object as man, who was lost even in our world, let alone in all the worlds? Why does humanity need all this creation? The Creator's enjoyment, which lies in delighting His creatures, depends on how much they can perceive and discern. It also is affected by how much we can discern Him as the giver of all the goodness. Only in this case does He receive pleasure from us. This is much like a parent who plays with his or her beloved child and enjoys the child's attitude towards him or her. The parent is delighted that the child recognizes the parent as a loving and strong parent who only awaits the child's request and is ready to grant them. Now try to imagine what an immense delight the Creator receives from those ones who rose so high. They recognize and they experience all that He's prepared for them. They established a relationship with the Creator resembling that of a parent with the loving and beloved child. From this, you will realize that it was worthwhile for Him to create all the worlds, and the chosen ones will understand even more what those who approach the Creator reveal. To prepare His created beings for the revelation of the worlds, the Creator gave us four levels of development: inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human, corresponding to the four levels of the will to receive pleasure. The main level is the fourth, but it is attained only by gradual development after we've completely mastered each level. The first level, inanimate, is the beginning of manifestation, the conception of desire in our world. Its force includes all types of inanimate nature, but none of the elements that form this nature, for example rocks, can independently move. The will to enjoy brings forth needs, and these generate movements towards attaining the desired object. In this case, the first level, the will to enjoy, is very small. It therefore affects only the sum of all elements and is not separately manifested in each of the inanimate levels of nature. At the next level, vegetative, the will to enjoy is bigger and already manifests in each particular element. Hence, each element at the vegetative level already possesses the ability for individual movement. For example, plants open their petals and turn towards the sun. This level includes such processes as absorption and excretion, yet beings at this level still lack the sensation of individual freedom of will. At the third level, animate, the will to receive pleasure grows even larger. Desire produces individual sensations in each particular element and creates a unique life for every one that differs from those of others. However, there's no sense of empathy with others at this level. These beings still lack the necessary compassion or joy with regard to others. At the last, fourth level, human, the will to enjoy creates the sensation of others. For example, the difference between the third and the fourth levels is similar to the difference between all the animals put together and a single human being. This is because animals cannot sense others and can generate needs only within the limits of their own desires. At the same time, a person who can sense others acquires the other's needs and thus becomes envious of others and wants more and more until eventually that person desires the entire world. The Creator's goal is to please the created beings so that they will reveal His greatness and receive all the delight that He had preordained for them. Clearly, only human beings can fulfill this role. Only humans have the necessary sensation of others, and only humans can turn the will to enjoy into a will to please others by following the suggestions of Kabbalah in the process of working on themselves. The presence of such abilities brings one the sensation of the spiritual worlds and the Creator. By attaining a certain level of Neron Chai, the lights, in a particular spiritual world, a person receives pleasure in accordance with the purpose of creation. We may seem small and inconsequential, but it's still man that constitutes the center and the goal of creation. We're like the worm that lives inside the radish, believing that the whole world is as bitter and small as the radish it was born in. However, when it breaks through the shell of the radish and looks outside, it calls out in amazement, "I thought that the whole world was like my radish. Now I see how vast and beautiful the world really is." In the same way, we who were born within the shell of egoism and wished only to please ourselves cannot break through this shell without Kabbalah, the instrument of our correction. We cannot turn this will to enjoy into a will to please others and the Creator. This is why we think that the entire world is only what we see and feel, failing to perceive how much good the Creator prepared for us. All that was created is divided into five worlds: Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. Nevertheless, every one of them consists of an endless number of elements. The five worlds correspond to the five Sephirot. Adam Kadmon corresponds to Sefirot Keter. Atzilut corresponds to Sefirot Chachmah. Briah to Sefirot Binah. Yetzirah to Sefirot Teferet. And Asiyah corresponds to Sefirot Malchut. The light that fills the worlds is accordingly divided into five types: Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh. The abbreviations in the reverse order forms the word Neron Chai. Therefore, the world Adam Kadmon is filled with pleasure called Yechida. The world Atzilut is filled with pleasure called Chaya. The world Briah is filled with pleasure called Neshama. The world Yetzirah is filled with pleasure called Ruach, and the world Asiyah is filled with pleasure called Nefesh. From the Creator come the worlds. That is, both the desire to receive delight and the delight that fills them comes from the Creator. Yet each world is, in turn, divided into Sephirot, Keter, Chachma, Binah, Tiferet, and Malchut, which are filled with their corresponding lights. In addition, there are four levels in each world: inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human. Palaces, helichot, correspond to the inanimate level. Robes, levushim, correspond to the vegetative level. Angels, malachim, correspond to the animate level, and human souls, neshama, correspond to the human level. These levels are located one inside the other like concentric circles or onion layers. The innermost, Seferet Keter, influences a particular world as the Creator. Neshamot, the souls of people who exist in a particular world, dress it. Then Malachim, Levushim, and Helichot dress one another. The inanimate, vegetative, and animate levels are created for the sake of the fourth level of desire, the human soul. Therefore, it is as though they dress the human soul, or they serve it, from the outside. From birth, we possess a part of the common, original soul. This part is a point in our hearts, within our desires or egoism. All of creation is built so that the general laws ruling at every level and in every world manifest in every part of creation, even the smallest particles. For example, all that exists is divided into five worlds or Sephirot: Keter, Chochmah, Binah, Tiferet, and Malchut. Each particular world consists of five Sephirot, within which even the least significant object is divided into five Sephirot. As was already mentioned, there are four levels in our world: inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human, and they correspond to Malchut, Tiferet, Binah, Chochmah, and their root, Keter. Additionally, every part of the inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human souls are divided into four sublevels, according to the magnitude of the desire. Thus, a human desire also consists of four levels. It has animate, vegetative, animate, and human, with the point of the soul at the center of each level. However, even if one begins to observe spiritual laws without having a special attitude towards the Creator as the ruler of all existence, without due respect and awe because one cannot feel Him, if one wants to receive pleasure only for oneself, yet aspires to acquire an inclination for altruism, this is enough for the point in the heart to begin to develop and be felt. This is what makes Kabbalah and its method of observing spiritual law so amazing. Hence, the study and observance of its principles, despite the egoistic purpose of spiritual growth, will purify and gradually elevate the student, although only up to the first inanimate level. To the extent that we elevate the spiritual above the physical and aspire to altruism, we change our desires, thus building the entire structure of the first level. The soul then rises and dresses in Sefirot Malchut of the world Asiyah, and one's entire body senses the corresponding light or pleasure at that level. This light helps to advance further towards higher levels. Just as the point of the soul's light of the Nefesh level exists in our hearts at the moment of spiritual birth, so does the point of a higher level of Ruach, of Asiyah, exist within the entire emerging level of Nefesh, of Asiyah. The same occurs at every level. After completely mastering a level, one passes to the point of the next, higher level. This is the only connection between the lower and the higher levels up to the highest. It is through this point that one can advance towards the Creator. This light of Nefesh, of the world of Asiyah, is referred to as the light of the inanimate level of the world of Asiyah because it corresponds to the corrected inanimate part of the desire in the body. The actions of such a person in the spiritual world resemble the actions of the inanimate nature in the corporal world. In both cases, individual movement is absent, and one merely belongs to the all-encompassing general movement of the collective mass in all the inanimate objects and desires. In correspondence to the 613 spiritual laws, the object called Nefesh of the world of Asiyah includes individual elements resembling 613 organs of the human body. Each of them has a unique perception or pleasure of the Creator's light. However, the differences among the parts remain inconspicuous, and the Kabbalist perceives only the light's general impact that spreads equally to all parts. Although there's no difference between the Sephirot from the highest Keter of Adam Kadmon to the lowest Malchut of Asiyah, such a difference does exist with respect to the person receiving the light. Sephirot are divided into vessels and the light that fills them. The light emanates from the Creator Himself. The vessels are also called Sephirot Keter, Chochmah, Binah, Tiferet, and Malchut. In the last three worlds, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, these levels constitute filters that block and precisely measure portions of the light to the receiver. In this way, everyone receives a portion that exactly corresponds to that soul's spiritual level of development. Although the light inside them is homogeneous, from the perception of the receiver, we refer to the lights as Naranchai, because the light is divided according to the properties of the filter, or of the vessels. Malchut is the densest filter. The light received from it is small and is meant only to correct the inanimate level of the body, hence it's called the light of Nefesh. Tiferet is a more transparent filter than Malchut. Therefore, the portion of light that it passes from the Creator to us is intended to spiritualize the vegetative part of the body. It's more intense than the light of Nefesh, and it's called Ruach. Binah is more transparent than Tiferet. It passes on the Creator's light that is meant to correct the animate part of the body that is called Neshama. Chochmah is the most transparent filter. It passes on light to elevate the desires of the human level. It's called the light of Chaya, and its power is unlimited. As already pointed out, if we've already attained the level of Nefesh with the help of Kabbalah, The point of the next level, Ruach, already exists within us. If we continue applying the method of Kabbalah to fulfill the spiritual laws, we will acquire the vegetative level of the will to enjoy, which rises and dresses Sephirot Tiferet of Asiyah. This produces a more powerful light, Ruach, corresponding to the vegetative level of the body. Just as the plants in our world, compared to the inanimate, are capable of personal movement, a person at the beginning of this spiritual level of development experiences the awakening of spiritual movements and spiritual forces. Also, as one completely attains the level of Ruach, the point in the next world of Neshama already exists within that person. By studying the secrets of Kabbalah, one spiritualizes the animate level in one's desire. When building the entire level, one rises and dresses Sefirat Binah of Asiyah and receives the light of Neshama from it. In this case, a person is called a pure animal, a cleansed animal, because of the purified animate part of the body. Just like an animal, such a person acquires an individual sensation of each of the 613 desires, because just like an animal in our world, that person individually makes every movement. The light that such a person receives differs as much as animals differ from the plants in our world. Upon completely mastering the 613 desires, or vessel parts, and receiving a special light of pleasure for each of the 613 parts, one continues working on oneself. The same light is used to purify the human part of the desire, which originates from the point that appeared after the vessel of Neshama had been completely built. Once having completed the creation of the corresponding desire at the human level, we can acquire the ability to feel other people's feelings and to know others' thoughts. The received light or the pleasure differs from that of the previous level, just as a person in our world differs from an animal. Yet these five levels are merely the pleasures of Neron Chai, of the world of Asiyah, meaning Nefesh. Even Ruach is absent in it, because Ruach is the light of the world Yetzirah, Neshama in the world of Beriah, Chaya in the world of Atzilut, and Yechidah in the world of Adam Kadmon. However, that which exists in the general is also present in each part of the general, meaning in the specific parts. In other words, these five types of light are in the world of Asiyah, albeit at a smaller inanimate level of Nefesh. In the world Yetzirah, these five types of light exist as the general level Ruach. In the world of Beriah, it is the Neron Chai of the level of Neshama. In the world Atzilut, it's the Neron Chai of the level Chaya. And in the world of Adam Kadmon, it is the Neron Chai of the level of Yechidah. The difference between the worlds is like the difference between the levels of Neron Chai in the world Asiyah. Thus, everything depends on the spiritual level of those who wish to attain the upper world, and therefore equalize their spiritual qualities to the properties of the worlds. Consequently, they become an integral part of the worlds, which explains why all the worlds were created and why we need them. Indeed, we would have been unable to attain the Creator without consistently ascending the Neron Chai levels of each world. By attaining a certain level, we feel the light, and this helps us to continue eradicating the egoistic will to enjoy until we achieve the purpose of creation, equivalence and adhesion with the Creator. It's important to understand that the Neron Chai constitutes the division of the entire creation into five parts. That which functions in the general system also functions in its tiniest part. Thus, even the lowest level of the world of Asiyah consists of its five constituent elements, its individual Neron Chai. This is because every infinitesimal desire consists of five parts. Keter, the Creator's representative. Chochmah, Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut, the four levels of creation itself. Additionally, the pleasure guiding it also consists of five types of light, Neron Chai. It follows that even the light of the spiritually inanimate level in the world of Asiyah cannot be reached without these four kinds of attainments. No one can be dismissed from studying Kabbalah and observing the spiritual laws by means of a thought of good for other people in the Creator. No one, either, can attain the level of Ruach or the level of Neshama without studying the secrets of Kabbalah. Our generation is still immersed in darkness. However, the reason for this is clearly the general decline of faith, and particularly the decline of faith in the wisdom of the sages. The most obvious example of this decline is today's books on Kabbalah, which are teeming with materialized descriptions. Hence, a need arose for the complete commentary on the Book of Zohar, a work that will save us from misinterpreting Kabbalah. This commentary is called the Sulam or the Ladder because it helps students gradually climb its rungs and reach spiritual heights. Everything depends on one's desire to attain the depths of the world's creation and one's place in them. The purpose of Kabbalah can be illustrated by the following parable. A subject in a distant kingdom broke the law, and the king's order was that he be banished from the land. He departed from his friends and family and all that was dear to him. At first he was very sad in his new location, but gradually, as with all things in life, he got used to his new home and completely forgot where he had been born and how he had once lived. He remembered neither that he was exiled nor that he had ever lived elsewhere. He built a house, made new friends, and built a life. One day he found a book about his home kingdom. He remembered where it was and what a wonderful life he had had there. After contemplating the book, he understood why he had been exiled and how he could return there. That kingdom is the spiritual world, where everything is fine for those who observe the laws of the great king. The land of exile is our world, the book through which everyone can remember the forgotten, find the homeland of the soul, and realize why he or she had been expelled and finally returned to the original place is the Zohar. Yet, if the Zohar is so important that it can help us attain the upper worlds, to see and feel the world of souls and the Creator Himself, why was it concealed for so many years, from the time that it was written until the appearance of the Ari's Kabbalistic method? The answer to this question is found in Kabbalah. For 6,000 years of its existence, the world has been structured as 10 sephirot, where Keter designates the Creator's influence, and the other sephirot are divided into three groups. Head, Chochma, Bina, Da'at. Middle, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet. End, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. The 6,000 years are also divided into three parts. 2,000 years, darkness. 2,000 years, the preparation period. And 2,000 years, the days of Mashiach, or Redeemer. The first 2,000 years refer to the head, meaning this period receives the small light, Nefesh, because the Sephirot are inversely related to the Creator's light that fills them. The first group, the higher Sephirot, appeared first, Chochma, Bina, Da'at, albeit these are filled with small light. The first 2,000 years refer to the head, meaning this period receives small light, or Nefesh, because the Sephirot are inversely related to the Creator's light that fills them. The first group, higher Sephirot, appeared first, Chochma, Bina, Da'at. Albeit these are filled with a small light, the first 2,000 years is called the darkness period. During the second 2,000 years, when the second group of Sephirot, Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet, develops, the light of Nefesh that fills the first group of Sephirot descended to the second one, and the light of Ruach fills the first group. These 2,000 years following the darkness period are called the Torah period. The third group of Sephirot, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, takes the last 2,000 years. The light of Nefesh descends here from the second group, the light of Ruach descends from the first group to the second, and the light of Neshama enters the first group. The entire wisdom of Kabbalah, and the Zohar in particular, was concealed until the emergence of the third group. The Ari reveals the Zohar to us, and his commentary shows us the path to attain the spiritual world. The Ari passed away before the end of that period, meaning before all the light had entered the third group. Hence, at that time, only special souls could study Kabbalah without revealing its essence to the world. Today, as we're approaching the end of the third period, we're ready to receive the comprehensive light, the ladder, the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, and a systematic textbook on Kabbalah entitled Talmud Esser Sephirot, or the Study of the Ten Sephirot. Although the souls who lived during the first and the second 2,000 years were highly exalted and corresponded to the upper Sephirot, Chochmah, Bina, and Da'at, Netzach, Gvura, and Hod, they could not receive the appropriate light because it had not yet reached our world. Now the lowest souls are descending to our world, as the events in our world testify. Yet these souls are the ones that complete the structure. The upper light refers to the upper souls that have already ascended from our world to the upper worlds, whose light reaches us as surrounding light. Although the souls of the first generations exceeded ours in quality, because the pure souls were the first to appear in our world, the science of Kabbalah, its inner concealed part, as well as other sciences, is being revealed only in the latest generations, since it depends on the intensity of the light. The lower the souls, the bigger the light that's revealed and enters our world. This is because a lower light can descend from the upper to the lower, or to souls, and the upper light enters the empty spaces in the upper Sephirot souls. The fulfillment of the correction refers to Sephirot, or souls, and mental observances, intentions, refers to the light entering the souls. The same reverse dependence exists between the Sephirot and the light. The creation starts with the upper Sephirot, filled with the lower lights, and ends with the lower Sephirot, or souls, filled with the upper lights. Thus it is the low souls that reveal the upper light, but only if they engage in the proper study of Kabbalah. The study of the Zohar and Kabbalah itself is a starting point in the correction of the entire world and the achievement of absolute peace and happiness.